Hello, and welcome to the Lisper Podcast. And guess what? Y'all see that button right there? That well, it's red. It's over here. No, it's over there. It's over there, and it's red. And it says live. It says live. That's right. That means this podcast now is live. The Lisper Podcast. I'm live on the shit. I'm live. But not that I'm not live anyway. I don't know. Live means live, like means I'm doing it right now, like in real time. You can watch it right now. You can look at me do this shit right now. Now, all my podcasts are kind of live because I don't edit them. I just like do them. I just say it and the shit is going in and that's how it rocks and rolls. But this is literally live. Like you can go on my YouTube right now. Go on there right now. You can get on there and you can go. And well, not right now if you're listening to this later. I'm going to have to start telling people I'm live so that they can be on there when the time that I do it. I'm just starting this live shit. But anyway, if you was on my YouTube page right now, you could have seen that I'm doing this live broadcast and you can watch it in real time, comment in real time, do all your shit in real time. But just know this, just know now that the Lisper Podcast is live and I'm going to start announcing the times and the dates that I'm going to do the shit. So that you can be on here, so that you can show up live and be in the comments. You can even be a guest. If you want to be a guest now, I can give you a time, a date. I can stream, give you the link, and you can come on in. You can come on in, but you're going to be on camera, so don't be in here on your mother in your motherfucking pajamas or not looking like your Sunday best, because if you're not looking like your Sunday best, I don't know what to tell you, because you're going to be ugly on this motherfucker, but you're going to be on it. You're going to be on it. You're going to be talking your shit. You're going to be spitting your game and talking your shit and whatever you want to do. I don't care. I don't care. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do on here. Just don't get me canceled. You understand? Well, you ain't going to get me canceled. You ain't going to get me canceled because one thing I am for sure, two things for certain, I am the king of the disclaimers. That's right. I will disclaim everything the fuck you said. I will disclaim everything you fucking said if I feel like you want some cancel culture shit. You say something when cancel culture got, hello, cancel culture. Yeah, that motherfucker said that. Ain't me. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck type I'm wearing. That ain't my friend. That ain't my friend. Now, I don't even barely know him. He just jumped on my shit. I don't care if you was my mama. That bus is coming and I'm driving it. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Right over your ass because you're not about to get me canceled. Ain't no fucking way I'm going to let you. I might cancel myself, but I ain't going to let you do it. But nonetheless, my co-host is back. That's right. His little dumbass cousin got fired. His coconut cousin got fired, but he's back. And as you can see, we already had some good times together. We already had some good times together since he came back from his little vacation. We about to have a little bit of a little time right now. So I'm about to pull it up. This is how I bought out. Not too much. It's early. It's in the daytime. Y'all didn't know to see me on the live. If y'all on here, y'all know what time it is. Y'all know it's in the daytime. Too early for shit, but you know. Nah, that goes. All right. So now today's episode, let's get into it. Today's episode, I'm gonna do a combination platter. That's right. The first half is gonna be go. No, I take that back. The first half is gonna be boat. And then the second half is going to be goat. That's right. I'm doing the boat and the goat in the same episode for the first time ever. I got my goat episodes. I got my boat episodes. But now I'm doing the boat and the goat. Same episode. First half is going to be the boat. The second half is going to be the goat. Now, if y'all don't know, y'all everybody knows goat is greatest of all time. I don't have to get in that. But if y'all don't know, I made up boat. Boat is the baddest of all time. Not bad meaning good. Bad meaning bad. Mean terrible. Stinks. Sucks. Fucked up. You don't like it. And the baddest of all time. And the greatest of all time. So the baddest of all time right now. And the topic is finishing moves in wrestling. That's right. I'm about to tell y'all what's the worst finishing moves in wrestling. The boats. And then I'm going to give y'all the goats. Now, we ain't got to talk about who does the moves. We ain't got to talk about the people who do the moves. We just got to talk about the moves themselves. How goated or boated these moves are. I ain't going to get into the person who does them. I'm just going to get into the moves and tell you that the moves is either goated. Or they boat it, okay? And that's it. And this is how it goes. Okay. First off, first thing I'm going to start with is that all submission finishers are going on my motherfucking boat list. I don't give a fuck what it is. I don't give a fuck how devastating it is. I don't give a fuck how good you think it is. I don't give a fuck how much it hurts the person. All the finishing moves that are fucking submission moves are going on my boat list. And you know why they're going on my boat list? Because I don't like those kind of finishes. I think that a finisher should be something that is guaranteed to finish the person, or at least bring you to that drama, that point where you say, oh, shit, he hit it. He's going to finish him. And you can't get to that point with a submission move. You know what I'm saying? I think that submission moves negate that whole excitement of the finisher. It's like, okay, you put him in a submission move, but then you have a long time before you figure out if it's going to work or not. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when somebody they finish a move, bam, you only got 2 to 3 seconds before we know, oh, shit, before we get our, oh, shit, he kicked out, before we get our, oh, no, what happened? Well, before we get our, oh, he won, yes, yes, yes. We get those moments from finishers within seconds. 1, 2, oh, shit, he kicked out, oh, my God, or 1, 2, 3, oh, no champion. We get those fucking moments, and those is the exciting moments. Those would make the finisher the exciting thing in the match. Those would give us those bang. That's what make those finishers great. We don't get those with the fucking submission holds. We don't get those. You know, sometimes a motherfucker will tap right away, but we don't like that. We don't like if they tap right away. We don't like if you put a motherfucker in the figure four and he right away. We don't like that. That's like, oh shit, he can't even laugh. Like, this supposed to be a champion? Can you imagine? Okay, I'll give you an example. One time, Stone Cold got in the sharpshooter, and Bret Hart put Stone Cold in the sharpshooter, and Stone Cold was bloody, bloody mess. We know this. We know that. We know that match. Anybody who's wrestling fans back in the day, y'all know that match. Y'all seen that, right? Stone Cold literally passed out in the sharpshooter. Passed out. Dead. Sleep. Never gave up, right? That was a cool kind of moment, but look how long it took, right? But I'm just saying, if Stone Cold would have tapped out right away, if Bret Hart would have put that figure four on Stone Cold and he would have been like, right a fucking way, it would have ruined everything. We would have been like, damn, Stone Cold's a pussy, ain't it? We would have been like, Stone Cold Steve Austin's a real bitch. He couldn't even last 10 seconds. He couldn't even last 10 seconds in the fucking sharpshooter. I could put my friend in the sharpshooter right now and he'll last more than 10 seconds. So now Stone Cold is a pussy. Right? That makes Stone Cold a bitch in my eyes. You know what I mean? So now we can't have it be quick. Those quick tap outs make you look bitchy. So we can't have that, right? So now you got to say, somebody come, Ric Flair, get the guy down. You put him in the figure four, right? Now we got to wait. Oh, he's excruciating in pain. We got to see the actors do that fake ass bullshit. I'm in pain acting. That shit sucks too. Oh, it hurts so bad. I'm in so much pain. Oh, and now we got to watch him try to get to the ropes. And it's long and it's drawn out and I'm getting tired. And then we got to watch him almost get the ropes. Oh, we got to watch him do that dumbass reach for the ropes. Oh, please let me get the rope. Please, Lord Jesus. And then they don't get him, or they do get him and they break the hold, or they don't get him and they don't break the hold, or we got to watch him try to do the reversal. Oh, he's trying to turn him over. He's trying to reverse it. Oh, oh, oh. And it's supposed to cause drama, but it don't. It don't cause drama. It actually 100% gets the fuck on my nerves. It's just like, it just gets the fuck on my nerves. The only one that was exciting, was when Bob Backlund did the chicken wing. The Bob Backlund chicken wing was exciting because Bob Backlund would go crazy behind you like this. And be wiggling. And Bob Backlund would go crazy, right? He'd be like this. And then Bob Backlund grab him and he put him in that chicken wing and he shake the shit out of him. And it just made it. It was just so funny. It was funny as fuck. Right? But it wasn't like good. It was just funny. And Bob Backlund looked crazy and he would shake the shit out of people. And they would tap out. And the chicken wing, I know from experience, really does hurt. So, you know, the chicken wing was decent. But for you people who like the sharpshooter, who like the figure four leg lock, the figure eight leg lock, the hurt lock, or the fucking, what is it called? Full Nelson, whatever you want to call it, the $1 million dream, whatever you want to call that. All of the fucking submission moves are boated, boatless. Don't want to see them, don't care about them. The second move that I'm going to put on the boat list, the second finisher that I'm going to put on the boat list, aside from submission hold, is the off-the-top-the-rope elbow. Suspended move. It's nothing. I done seen a lot of people drop that elbow off the top rope, and I done seen a lot of people do it good. I've seen a lot of people do it corny. But what makes you think that a regular elbow smash that anybody else could do, what makes it so much special when nobody do it? Now, I know, look, I don't want to hear it. I know it sounds like blasphemy, because I know that it was exciting and it was decent when the Macho Man Randy Savage, when Macho Man got on that top rope and did that elbow smash, he was excited. It was decent. He got a lot of airtime. He put a lot of oomph into it. But at the end of the day, it's still just a fucking elbow smash. That's the reason why I said we're not going to talk about the people who done the move. We're just going to talk about the move itself. An elbow smash off the top rope in itself is bullshit. It ain't pinning no motherfucking body on no kind of planet whatsoever. The elbow smash off the top rope is not pinning nobody. But yet, Bayley uses it as a finisher. Macho Man uses it as a finisher. Bobby Eaton at times uses it as a finisher. And let's be clear. The way Bobby Eaton did it, the way Macho Man did it, the way Bayley did it was banging. Looks good. Makes me feel like it hurts. But at the end of the day, it's just a fucking elbow smash. And everybody has it in their arsenal. And some people get higher than Macho Man. Some people drop harder than the Macho Man. Some people drop harder than Bayley. Some people get higher than Bobby Eaton. Matter of fact, Bobby Eaton was kind of chubby. He didn't get that high. Bobby Eaton didn't get that much lift on his fucking elbow drop from the top rope. So if Macho Man gets this high and he drops it, bang, and that's enough for him to pin motherfuckers consistently. And I get higher than him. And I'm bigger than him, and I drop it, and I don't even get a two count. It's like one kick out. Just a regular fucking elbow smash. It don't make sense. It's dumb. The elbow smash goes on the boat list, okay? The boat list. Elbow smash goes on the boat list. Let me see. Whatever else goes on the boat list. Listen. Oh, my God. Listen. The stank face. And I know it only came from one person, but the stank face goes on the boat list. It goes on the boat list, and I can't even comprehend why anyone would take a stink face. If I was in WWE right now, my contract would be like, look, I'll fight Rikishi, I'll put him over, I'll let him do whatever he wants, but ain't no way I'm taking no stink face. There's no way I'm taking no stink face, and I don't even think the stink face was a finisher. I think he had some other kind of finisher move. Matter of fact, I don't think the stink face was a finisher, but I had to mention the stink face because it's a signature move. I call that a signature. It wasn't a finisher because I don't think he ever pinned anybody off it. So I'm being wrong when I say it can't go on the boat list of finishers. But it goes on the boat list of moves, period, because Rikishi's sticking his fat ass in my face and shaking it. Doesn't hurt nobody. It's literally just to be a stink face. I don't know what it's for. But I fucked up. It's not a finisher. So it's not. So scratch it. It don't go on the finisher list. It just goes on the top-notch list of boat fucking moves. All right. What else? Okay. Now, I know that Andre the Giant didn't have a lot of moves. I know a lot of big guys don't have a lot of moves. And I know that it's hard for a big guy to come up with a real finish. But Big Show's knockout punch thing he was doing for a while as a finisher, bullshit, boat listed right here. It's going on the boat list. It's going on the boat list now, mind you. And then other people use it too. So I'm just not like singling out the Big Show. I think Kerry Von Erich used like a tornado spin around fucking punch, and Roman Reigns is kind of using it right now. Superman punch. Anything that's a punch. Hold on. So the Big Show knockout punch, the Von Erich tornado punch, the Roman Reigns Superman punch, anything that's a punch is a boat list finisher. You punch these motherfuckers the whole match. All match you punching the motherfucker in the face. Look at that blow. All match. Everybody's taking punches. People take punches from Big Show. People take punches from everybody. All right? Everybody takes their punches, right? But all of a sudden now, the last punch, the punch that's the finishing move, you put a little bit extra on it. You put a little bit extra on that punch in order to win the match, right? And here's the thing, it's a punch. You can literally do that at any time. Why did it? Look. If your punch signature move is any kind of punch move, right? If it's any kind of punch move, right? Soon as they start the match, bing, bing, bing. Catching. Motherfuckers be starting matches by doing that strip, that test the strength shit. They start a match and they put both of their hands up. Come on. Test the strength. No, feel this punch, motherfucker. Bang, I'm taking them right out. I'm taking them right. I ain't not testing. I'm not testing his strength. I'm testing his jaw. So if your finish is a punch, you can finish a match in a second. Soon as they say, bing, 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 back and molly, whack that motherfucker. Take him out. That's it. Match is over. So anything that's a punch is going on the motherfucking boat list because you can do that at any time. And why are you not punching them hard when you punch them originally? I'm pretty sure that if you watch any wrestling match, there's some punches that go through. Boom, boom. They always punch. They're always punching. So why didn't Big Show just knock the motherfucker out as soon as the match starts? Why don't Roman just hit the Superman punch as soon as they ring the bell? Bing, 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 Superman, bam, knock that motherfucker out. Why we gotta wait till the match been going on for 10 to 15 minutes before we see a punch? A punch down? So all punching is done. And we got the submission holds done. The punching is done. The elbow drops is done. Okay? Anything that's that's not a signature move. If everybody uses it, it's not a finisher, okay? You know what I'm saying? The belly. Who does? Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson's finishing move was a spine buster. How is the spine buster a finisher? Huh? Yeah, he does it a little bit harder than everybody else who does a spine buster. I watch everybody in wrestling do a spine buster. Matter of fact, there was a time in the NWA when a spine buster literally happened in every single match. Okay? Spine buster literally happened in every single fucking match, right? Every match had a spine buster, and yet Arn Anderson's spine buster is just way better than everybody else's spine buster. Way better. Just out there way better. Okay, player, if you say so. Okay, and now I'm going to hurt some feelings with this bolded. I'm going to hurt some feelings with this bolded shit, because y'all love it. But y'all got, once again, y'all have to separate the person who uses the move from the actual move itself. Once again, y'all have to separate the person who uses the move from the actual move itself. Okay? You have to separate it now, because Undertaker's whole finishing moveset, along with Kane's, along with anybody else, along with the Giant was using it for a while, Big Show, the Giant, he was called the Giant in WCW, he was using it for a while. Omos kind of tried to reinvent the wheel on it, but it's still the same shit, okay? So I'm just going with this. The choke slam is the boat finisher. I don't care. The choke slam is corny. You pick a motherfucker up and choke him down, bam, slam him with a choke slam, right? Now, I just don't see the choke slam as a finisher. I just don't see it. It's not nothing. I don't feel like it's as impactful. I don't feel like it's good. I feel like it's boring. I feel like anybody can pick him up, slam him down. I mean, like, look, they pick him up and they do suplexes, which uses their whole body weight. Bang. Pick him up, do power drops. Pick him up and do body slams and all kinds of shit. You know what I mean? So a choke slam to me is just like a regular, like a body slam. Now, I know that Undertaker can put their hand on the back and get him up real high. I know Big Show can get him up real high. I know the people that can get you up high and you coming from the sky and coming down and crashing down on your back and your neck. I don't know. I guess the choke slam could be devastating, but it's like, for me, it takes too long to set up. It takes too long to set up. That whole thing where you grab their neck, and then you hold them there for a second, and they're like, oh, no. Oh, no, I can't get away. And then you pick them up. I mean, it's just, or you know the choke slam thing where they grab them, they choking them, and then they do that elbow to the side. And they break out of the choke slam. You know what I mean? That's the counter to it. I don't know. I just don't. It's boring. I don't feel like it has enough impact to be a finisher. And I just honestly 100% kind of don't like it. So I'm going to put that on the boat list because I think it's corny and I think it's bolded and I think anybody can do a choke slam for real. Anybody that's big can choke slam somebody. And it only looks impactful when you on a fucking smaller guy. When Big Show choke slams the Undertaker, it looks dumb. He can't even get him up that high because Undertaker's so tall and long. And then when he throws him down, he can't throw him. So he kind of like lays him down. It's like, here, I'm going to lay you down on the mat. It looks gentle. It looks gentle. So the chokeslam works if you got Undertaker versus Rey Mysterio, where he have him all the way up in the sky in the Himalayas, and he come down with him. Yeah, it works then. Rey's dead. Rey Mysterio is dead. But will a chokeslam work on Brock Lesnar? No. Will a chokeslam work on The Rock? No. Will a chokeslam work on Edge? No. See what I'm saying? You see how bad the chokeslam looks to a bigger opponent? So the chokeslam only works when a big guy is wrestling a small guy. See? So that's what I'm saying. Chokeslam's out of there. Also, Tombstone Powerdriver is out of there too. But while we at it, let's talk about the Tombstone Powerdriver. Now, I know Undertaker uses it, Kane uses it. They the only two that I really seen use it. But let's talk about it, okay? The other Powerdrivers that they used to use in the WWE when they used to jump and drop, well, everywhere, they was cool, but they was breaking necks. And they was real dangerous if you didn't do them right, so they kind of banned those. Paul Orndorff had the best one, but they kind of banned those, Jones. And so then they went to, you know, the Tombstone Powerdriver. But the Tombstone Powerdriver is not, it's a boat thing. It looks devastating when Undertaker do it. Undertaker made it look cool when he crosses your arms and rest in peace and all that. He made it look cool. He made it seem cool, but like I said, you got to separate the man from the move. And if you separate the man from the move, the Tombstone Powerdriver is corny as fuck. Because you can clearly see that the man's knees hits the mat and the man's head, neck, body does not. Now, I know we're not trying to kill people. I know we're not trying to kill people in wrestling. I know we don't want to break necks. We don't want to injure folks. So I get it. But you got to, it's hard to sell a Tombstone Powerdriver when I clearly see the knees hit the floor and the man's head don't touch it. I mean, it's clear. You can see it. Clear as day. So it's like, how's he hurt? How's he dead? How's he resting in peace? How's he getting that 1, 2, 3? It's like a move where you can't disguise it. And I've seen some where they didn't even try to disguise it. I've seen some when Undertaker knees didn't go down first. I've seen some where the head actually hit the mat. And now I'm scared. Now I'm cringe. I'm not excited that Undertaker hit that move. I'm like, oh no, did he hurt him? Oh my God, is he injured? Oh, that looked bad. Oh, I'm worried now. It took away my excitement from the match because now I'm worried. I'm worried if this other wrestler is hurt. So now I'm not excited for the 1, 2, 3. I'm not excited for the kick out. I am kind of excited for the kick out because the kick out means he's not hurt. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to know if he hurt or not. I want to know if that motherfucker can get pinned or not. He ain't supposed to be hurt for real. You know what I mean? So it changes my emotion. It changes what I'm thinking about. It changes what I want to do. It just changes my whole image of the match and everything. So on one token, it looks bad. It looks corny as fuck. It looks like the man ain't hurt. We can see the knees was down. We can clearly see that Tombstone one hit right. And we don't give a fuck. It's Undertaker. He gonna pin him. Cool. We want Undertaker to win. Yay. But I'm sitting there like, that's some bullshit. That's corny as fuck. But on the other hand, if it's done to look good and it's done to look goddamn and it's done to look great, how it's supposed to be, and it's done to look convincing, it's scary. So yeah, I don't want to see no Tombstone. I'm glad the Undertaker's going, and I'm not glad the Undertaker's going for real. Like, come on now, the fuck? Undertaker's one of the greatest. I'm not glad that he's going for real like he had to retire, but I'm just glad that, you know, I'm going to put it like this. Undertaker's going. And I'm glad that nobody else has decided to adopt this Tombstone Powerdriver. They just let Undertaker have it, and they let it go. And nobody else is using it, and that's good because it's a boat move. The Tombstone Powerdriver is a boat finisher, okay? It's boated. It ain't goated. It's boated, all right? And now, let me see, what else? Who's else finishes I didn't like, okay? Let me go to Earthquake. Earthquake had the earthquake finisher. Now, let me tell you something, okay? Any kind of finisher like that, I can't bolt them, but I want to because they're corny as fuck, but I can't. Any kind of fat guy drop on you finisher, you want to bolt that shit because it's corny as hell. You want to bolt it because it's corny as hell, but you ever heard that saying, use what you got to get what you want. Use what you got to get what you want. Ooh, you got it, that big old fat ass. Ooh, you got it, that big old fat ass. A big your fat ass works on a woman, but it works on a man too, especially a wrestler. That's right, when you King Kong Bundy, when you Earthquake, when you Typhoon, when you Andre the Giant, when you are Yokozuna, and you got that ass, that's right, you can use it. You can use it. It's convincing. It's convincing. It's a corny ass move. You just literally go and sit on a fucking man. It's corny. It's corny when you think about it. As a move, it's bolded. It's just like, I'm going to sit on him. It's corny as fuck. But it is efficient. Because when Yokozuna used to drag that motherfucker to the corner and go up there and bonsai drop on him with that big old ass, I used to think, oh man, that motherfucker's there. All the ribs are broke. But it wasn't scary because I know that Yokozuna ain't really sitting that 500. I know he ain't really dropping that 500 pound ass on him. I know he not, so I'm not scared that he got hurt. But the way when you look at it, it's like, holy shit, moly motherfucker. You get what I'm saying? So those moves are bolded because a lot, you know, but if you a big man, you a big man, a big wrestler, and you got that round brown, you know, that big old round brown, you know what I'm saying? The big old humpy hump, the humpy dance. You can sit on a motherfucker and it's convincing. The move's corny as shit, though. It's a boatless move. It's a boat finisher. I don't like it. It's corny as fuck, but it's convincing, and it works, and you can do it, but it's boated. It's boated. I don't like it. It's like a corny-ass finisher, but it's, I see why it's a finisher, I can say. I see why they were using it, but as far as the move is concerned, that shit corny as fuck. But now, I'm going to tell you this, and this is not separating the man from the finisher. I can't do this one. I can't separate the man from this finisher. And this is the boatiest of the boats. This is the top boat finisher on the whole entire scape of wrestling. There's no finisher worse than this. And I stand on it, and I know a lot of people stand on it. Hulk Hogan. As soon as I said Hulk Hogan, y'all was like, that motherfucking leg drop. Y'all knew it. Now look, I understand that Hulk Hogan's leg drop finisher was a combination plan. I understand that it included the fucking big boot, the body slam. I understand it was a three-prong finisher and included like the big boot and then the body slam. And then the leg drops over the three type things. Hulk Hogan always did that. He hit you, he do the finger wave, then he throw you to the ropes and he hit you with the big boot. Then he got, and then he picks you up with the body slam. And then after the body slam, then the leg drop comes. So I understand it was like a three-prong move. But after the setup, we all knew the leg drop was coming. After the fucking, he honks up, he puts, waves that finger, does the big boot, does the body slam. We knew the setup was coming for the leg drop, but the leg drop was garbage. It was a leg drop. And the best leg drop in the business was Bobby Eaton. And it wasn't even Hulk Hogan. The best leg drop in the business was Bobby Eaton. Bobby Eaton had the best leg drop. We were going to go Hulk Hogan. And then Hulk Hogan did get some height on it sometimes, and it was cool. But Hulk Hogan has pinned everyone. Every major star that Hulk Hogan has beat in wrestling, and there was a lot of them, was beat by a leg drop. How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel to know Undertaker was beat by a leg drop? How does it make you feel to know Ric Flair was beat by a leg drop? Macho Man was beat by a leg drop. Ultimate Warrior was beat by a leg drop. Mr. Perfect beat by a leg drop. All your favorite wrestlers was beat by a standard bitch-ass leg drop. You understand what I'm saying? And yeah, Hulk Hogan looks big, and he's big, and he's a big guy, and a real-life leg drop from Hulk Hogan will probably kill my black ass. But when we look at our stars and our people, we don't... A leg drop, though? All it took was a leg drop to pin you? To pin him? To pin our heroes and our zeros? You know what I'm saying? So the leg drop is the biggest boat move, and I stand on that, and it's hard for me to separate the man. I can separate the man from it. I can say the leg drop as a move is a boat move for a finisher, right? But the impact that it has when you mention Hulk Hogan is better because you see who all the people that Hulk Hogan pinned with that leg drop, and it makes it even worse. It makes you even more disgusted, don't it? You feeling it in your soul right now? That shit is disgusting. You mad as fuck right now that Hulk Hogan pinned your favorite wrestler with a leg drop. You understand? So now that we're done with the boats, we about to get into the GOATs. That's right, we about to get into the GOAT moves. 2 seconds flat. So the bolts are gone, and the GOAT finishing moves are going to come up. Now, the GOAT finishing move, let me explain. Let me explain. Because some people came to the live late. I see some people in here. I see you two people. Y'all in here. I see you. But some people came to the live late. So some people didn't understand what I meant by how I feel finishing moves should be. Now, some of you are not going to agree with this list because some of you have a different take or a different feeling or a different compassion or a different whatever about finishing moves. That's fine with y'all. That's fine. But for me, finishing moves for me have to be impactful. I want that excitement. I want that, he hit him with that shit. 1, 2, kick out. Or 1, 2, 3, yeah, he won. I want that. I want that right away. It's the drama. It's the impact. It gets into my heart, to my soul, my mind, my body, my spirit. And I want it right away. So when I see a finishing move, bang, and I think a finishing move should be able to come out of nowhere, I think it should be quick. I think it shouldn't be too much setup. And I think that it should, when it's done right, it should give you all those emotions. Now, I know sometimes, most of the time, people don't kick out of it. But when they do, it's just like, oh, yes. You know what I mean? But you got to have that real fast. You got to have that quick. It's right away. It's bam. You got to not know kind of when it's coming. So now, the first finishing move I'm going to put on this list. And remember now, we got to separate the man from the move. It's the stunner. I didn't call it the Stone Cold Stunner, even though we associated with Stone Cold, but it's the Stunner. The Stunner is a great finishing move if it's pulled off properly. It's one of the best because you grab that man, bang, and it looks good. And Kevin Owens been doing it. Stone Cold did it. A lot some other people use the Stunner. And it's great because it looks good. No matter how, even if you botch it, it still looks good. And the way some people sell it, The Rock was a great seller of it because he would jump up into the air. You know, Shawn Michaels would sell it because he would look like he would die. Like, there's a lot of great, the Stone Cold Stunner, is an easy move to sell, an easy move to pull off, an easy move to look good, and it doesn't have that danger factor. It doesn't have that, he fucked that stunner up, is my man hurt? Because it doesn't look like it hurts anybody. But it looks like it's impactful enough to fuck a motherfucker up. It looks like it hurts, but you know that you can't fuck it up. It's not like a power driver where you can see the man hit the head, hit the mat, and you're like, You know what I mean? It's not cringy. But depending on how it's sold, that shit is excellent. Now, I know the stunner has a little bit of a setup because it has a kick to it sometimes. But sometimes you can see a stunner will get pulled off out of nowhere. It'll be like he turns around, he reverses, turns around. Oh, he catches him. Bang, stunner. It's happened. And even the kick is not a bad setup. Like, as soon as you see that kick, you're like, oh, shit, stunner's coming. And it happens. It's not even that bad. It's not a long-time setup. It's not like Hulk Hogan's leg drop where you got to go through all the throws. It's not like it's not a long-time setup. It comes right out sometimes. Now, the kick is not that bad. The kick don't bother me that much. So the stunner is like perfect. It's a great move. I love it. Stunner makes the GOAT list, and it was even better by Stone Cold. But even if you take Stone Cold out, you got KO doing it, you got other people doing it. When you see a stunner at the finisher, it still looks good. The next GOAT finisher I'm going to put on there is the Rock Bottom. Now, the Rock Bottom, bookend, whatever you want to call it, is great. I love the Rock Bottom so much that was my initiation to my kids to being big. I'll say it like this. My kids were babies. You got to hold them like this. Rock goodbye, baby. Soon as my kids can walk and talk, every one of them. And if you don't believe me, you can talk to any one of them. I bring these motherfuckers here. I'll sit them down. It's five of them. I'll bring all five of them here. Well, seven now. Damn! I have five. Now I got two more. Brittany kids. And my kids are seven. Guy kids, I want to count them too. Like 8, 9, 10, 10. I got like 12 in the possible. I don't even care. Let's just round it up. 12 in the possible. That's what my children are, right? But I'm just saying to you, I bring all of them in here and I line them up. Every single one of them will tell you that as soon as they was big enough to walk, talk, and possibly take a shit without any help, they was getting a rock bottom. Every single one of them. Rock bottom. I rock bottom all my kids on the bed. I just grab it. Oh, shit. Rock bottom. Rock bottom. That's right. I rock bottom every one of my children because that was their initiation into, okay, get the fuck out of here. Okay, you're done. You can walk around by yourself now. You don't need daddy no more. Terrible twos. Terrible twos. I initiated my children into the terrible twos with a rock bottom. Yes, I did. A lot of rock bottom. The book end. Well, it's really, I don't even know what it's actually, the movie's actually called. I only know it as the book end and the rock bottom. But what is it? What is the actual movie? Because those was the name for it because of the people who did it and the finisher. But what is the actual movie? I don't even know what the actual movie is. And that goes to kind of like who the Rock is. We've never even heard them say. I've never even heard them say what that move was on a regular. But I know that it was great. It was great because Booker T did it. The way Booker T did it, the book end, Booker T just bang, he took you down. He was trying to fuck you up. He didn't even really add that much flair to it or nothing. He just like took you out with it. And it looked devastating and it looked crazy. But the Rock. You know, the Rock, he added flair to it. The Rock would think you have you in it, do his little look around, kick his leg out, and like he looked like, the Rock looked like he was Superman. He would take off into the air and it looked like Rock was flying. It was like this. Like he was flying. And then he come down with you. The Rock made that shit look real good. But either way, that's how I did it. That's how I did it too. When I got my kids up, I had them up high and I used to jump myself in the air, rock bottom the ass is gonna be. Oh, I missed that. I'm gonna have another baby just so I can rock bottom that motherfucker. No, I'm not. I ain't having no more kids. I mean that shit. But anyway, so yeah, the Rock, the way he did it was cool. The way Booker T did it was cool, and it could come out of nowhere. A motherfucker just running to the ropes, come back off, duck, Rock catch him, bang, rock bottom. And it was so funny because the announcers, man, it's so crazy funny because it would be like this. It would be like, rock bottom, rock bottom, rock bottom. And you get so excited to hear it, so excited to see it. It was just, it was all that, man. So I'm putting the rock bottom on my GOAT list of wrestling finishes. Okay, let me see. What else is on the GOAT list? I guess that's it. Those is on the GOAT list. Psych. You know what else is on my GOAT list? The 450 Splash. Now look. There's not a lot of fucking GOAT list moves off the top rope. Because the top rope finishes are like kind of like, you know, elbow smashes, top rope leg drop, stuff like that. They're mostly corny. But that 450 is great. And not many people can pull it off. But when you pull it off, god damn. Ain't nothing like it. I'm going to put the Frog Splash up there with it, too. The Frog Splash, when Rob Van Dam, now a lot of people use Frog Splashes, I'm just saying. But Rob Van Dam's Frog Splash was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So to see somebody that's in the air that can, like, do that and time it and have it come down and have it perfect was crazy. It's crazy. But that 450 Splash is something else. That's something different. That's something that I couldn't even understand it. When I saw that, I'm just like, oh, because if you miss it, you know, if you miss it, if you miss it, one millimeter was off or something, it's dangerous. But I haven't seen it really missed. I haven't seen a cringy moment with it. But when it's hit, it's like, damn, it's so exciting to see. I don't even care about the 1, 2, 3 after that. I just want to see him do it. I just want to see that. Woo, woo, woo. Bam! Woo, woo, bam! That shit is exciting. So the 450 Splash, I think Evan Bourne did it. A couple other people use it. The Luchadors, you know, the Luchador wrestlers use it a lot. But man, oh man, that thing is a decent move. And you know what else I'm putting on this GOAT list? I'm putting on this GOAT list. Now, this is another move that is hard for me to separate it from the person who does it because I don't know the name of it. Outside of this person, I know that it's called the 619, and Rey Mysterio does it. And the 619 to me is a great move. I love it, but I don't know what it's called. Like, what do you call that move as a wrestling move? So it's just the 619 because of Rey, and he's the only one that I really seen use it. But I love 619. I love the 619 because it does have a setup, but the setup is cool because that's how I imagine the motherfucker would do. Like when Ray trips them into the ropes and they fall into the ropes and they dangling there, that shit is funny to me. It's like if you did trip somebody and they fell into the ropes, that shit was funny. And then for him to jump, run, and jump and spin his body through the ropes and kick somebody in the face 2 times with all his body weight spinning around and coming back and kicking a man in the face. That shit is cool. And if it's sold right, that's another move that if it's sold correctly and done correctly, it looks fucking awesome. It looks fucking great when a man gets kicked in his face and blasts himself out of the ropes, like almost springboarding out of the ropes and back to the mat. And then Ray jumps on the ropes and does his springboard right off, splash onto him, bang, 1, 2, 3. Oh my God. That is exciting. Ain't nothing really better than that. Well, there's something better than that. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That shit is voted because that shit is great. The setup don't take too long. The setup is also exciting. And the other thing that's exciting about it is when the counter is exciting. The counter is exciting because when Ray drops you into the ropes and the motherfuckers go, and Ray goes and drops you to 619 and the motherfucker catches him, sometimes they catch him, or sometimes they'll grab his legs and push that motherfucker out to the floor. Okay, that's a good counter. So the counter is exciting. The move is exciting. And I give it to him. You know what else? Another boatless move is the Twist of Fate. Twist of Fate is a boatless move because, I don't know, I like it. I like the setup where you get him in and it looks like a DDT, but then you fucking put the arm out and you just do like a reverse neck breaker type thing and twist him up. It reminds me a little bit of like the Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Remember, Honky Tonk Man had the Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It reminds me of that a little bit. It's also got like some stunner kind of features in it. It's like a combination of like a fake DDT turned into a twist, rock, rattle, and roll. What did I call it? Shake, Rattle, and Roll turned into like a little stunner style move. And it's great. And when I can separate a lot. Some other people use it, but I can use Jeff Hardy and say Jeff Hardy was the greatest at it. He made it look real good. But yeah, the Twist of Fate is a good one too. I like the Twist of Fate. So the Twist of Fate can make the GOAT list. I'm trying to think of other finishes that I like. Brock Lesnar. Okay, Brock Lesnar, the F5. The F5, when it's done right, is great. You put a man on your shoulders. Okay? Put a man on your shoulders. And then basically, essentially, spin him off your shoulder into the air and then come down with him to slam him face first into the mat. Every time I see an F5, I'm just like, damn! F5 is devastating, and Brock's tall, and Brock's big, and Brock's all husky and shit, and he takes the man, puts him on the shoulder, and spin that motherfucker off, and then comes down and slams his face first. And man, look, F5 is good. The only problem that I have with the F5 is the setup for it. The F5 really can't kind of come out of nowhere because you kind of actually have to catch the man and you kind of actually have to hoist him up on his shoulder. But the process of doing it takes a little bit. You know what I mean? It's not like you could just be like, F5, like out of nowhere. You can't F5 him out of nowhere. So the process to do it is like, it's still kind of like almost like a setup move, but the move itself, the actual move itself, and the actual person that's doing it, I know you want to separate. I know I said separate the person from the move, but anybody else, I don't know if they can pull that off. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if anybody else uses it. But if somebody else uses it, it might look good, whatever. If I did it and it looked shitty, I don't know. But the F5 is going on the GOAT list, and I can separate it from Brock. I think the F5 would work with anyone. You know what I mean? Not Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio couldn't pull off F5. I just said that. When I said that, I just tried to imagine Rey Mysterio. I don't got much left. When I said that, I just tried to imagine Rey Mysterio pulling off F5, and I just was cracking the fuck up. Like, can you imagine Rey Mysterio trying to F5? Like, somebody like The Undertaker, they would be bent over. The Undertaker legs would probably still be on the floor. Undertaker legs would probably still be on the floor if Rey Mysterio was trying to give him an F5. He'd probably spin around and just fall over. It would look so stupid, but F5 for anybody else would work out. F5 is a great move, and it doesn't have to be Brock. I haven't seen nobody else use it, but I'm pretty sure if somebody else would use the F5, it would be good. The other bowler, okay? The pedigree. I'm sorry, but pedigree for me is a boat move. You put a man, it's got a setup, but the setup is cool because you lock him in and you lock his arms in. So it's not like, so it can happen at any time. But once you get him under there and you get them arms locked, you can pedigree him. Now I know a lot of people flip out and do the little backflip out of there, but the arms ain't locked. arms ain't locked. When you get them in there, they backflip you off. That's cool. That's the standard fucking escape of the pedigree. But once you get up in there and you get it right, and other people have used it. Triple H is the one who's made it famous. But Seth Rollins uses it, and I've seen it other places. But once you get it locked, and once you pull off the pedigree correctly, it's unstoppable. And, sometimes it's got the power driver thing, the tombstone thing, where the knees go down first and you can see the man didn't hit. But when Triple H or Seth Rollins is in their back, in their pedigree back, you ain't no telling. That jump and that stand down, and you know that the person can't get hurt for real, because the way the pedigree is done, you can't really hurt the person. Maybe you can break a nose. Maybe you can lose a tooth or something, but it's not a dangerous move where you could say, oh my God, somebody might break their neck or somebody might really get seriously injured. It's not that kind of move. So you don't think about the person getting injured when you see it. And if the pedigree is done right, if the jump is done right, and the drop is done right, that move is devastating. That move is devastating. That move is like, oh my God, I can't take it. I can't take it. So that's another move where I say you can put that on the GOAT. GOAT finishing this, and it's convincing as a finisher. You got to think about somebody locking your arms up. You like this, locked up arm position. You can't even protect yourself. And the motherfucker's going to jump in the air and drop you down on your face with your arms like fucking chicken wings behind your back. Face first. And his weight is on you too. He's got his weight on you too, not to mention you under there. You under there. You know what you under. So that's adding a little insult to the injury, you know what I'm saying? But no, so I'm going to put the pedigree up there on the GOAT list, okay? And now, because y'all know me, and y'all know who I love, and y'all know who is the GOAT of wrestling, and I don't care, we can argue all you want, but this man, to me, is the GOAT of wrestling, and his name is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And even though his move is called a super kick, and even though the super kick right now is not a finisher anymore, super kick right now is all over the place. Super kick right now is corny as fuck. Super kick right now is just a regular move. Everybody's doing it. The Usos and the Young Bucks will super kick you 25 times in a match. Super kick don't mean nothing right now. But when the super kick was called the Sweet Chin Music, it was excellent. It could come out of nowhere, just like at any time. Yeah, sometimes Shawn Michaels would set it up. He stomped that feet in that corner and set that shit up. You anticipated, and sometimes he would miss it, and you'd be like, damn, you know, we saw it coming, whatever. But when Shawn Michaels pulled that motherfucker out of nowhere, it was a shot. When it was like the match was going good and they was going back and forth, and then all of a sudden you hear that. You're like, oh, shit. Because sometimes Shawn Michaels would pull that shit out and it would shock you. And if it was done great, right, and at the perfect moment, it was amazing. Like, for instance, the best super kick I ever seen, Sweet Chin Music. It was on Monday Night Raw, I think, Shawn Michaels versus Shelton Benjamin. And Shelton Benjamin was putting on a performance, and Shawn Michaels was with him. It was probably Shelton Benjamin's best match. He was going at it. He was going toe-to-toe, one-on-one, in there with Shawn Michaels, who's the GOAT. And Shelton Benjamin was holding his own. He was doing his thing, and this match was going on. And I almost, because Shawn was older at the time, and Shawn was at the point where he could have been in a position to put other wrestlers over. And I thought maybe, just maybe, Shelton Benjamin was going to win that match. But Shelton Benjamin went outside of that ring, jumped onto the top rope, springboarded off the top rope. Now, this man springboarded over the top rope into the ring and caught a Sweet Chin on the come down. And I was just like, holy shit. Holy shit, that was the greatest Sweet Chin Music I ever seen. This man springboarded himself into the ring and on the come down, caught it. As he's flying down, that foot was going up. Caught him right on the button and took him out, okay? And it's moments like that put that Sweet Chin music on the GOAT list. But now, I'm going with the GOAT finisher. And the GOAT finisher is the cutter. That's right, it's called a cutter. It could be a diamond cutter. It could be the RKO. It could be anybody can use it. But the cutter is the best finishing move on the planet because it's got everything. You can anticipate it. You can set it up. Randy Orton sets it up. Diamond Dallas Page sets it up when he used to do this. I'm about to give him the diamond cutter. Randy Orton sets it up when he goes down on all fours and I'm about to set this shit up. Yup, it happens. It can be set up. But man, oh man, it can also come out of nowhere. It can come out of nowhere, and that's the shit I'm talking about. When that cutter comes out of nowhere, it is awesome. And the way you sell it, the way this man literally jumps in the air, grabs you on the head, and brings you down to break your neck. And it don't seem like it can injure anybody. It don't really seem like it can injure anybody, but it looks devastating. It looks devastating. And it's so great that I went on YouTube and saw a video of Randy Orton fucking RKOing everybody. And all the scenarios where people just get RKO'd out of nowhere because that's how it comes out of nowhere. And that video is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen in my life. And that also pumps it up. That's how I feel about the RKO, the cutter, whatever you want to call it, depending on who you like. I like Randy Orton, so I call it the RKO, but I know it's called a cutter. But man, Randy Orton can pull that shit out of nowhere at any time. He can sneak up on you and do it. He can do it in the middle of the match. You throw into the ropes, next thing you know, bang, RKO! And it's just like that. Boom! It's just like that. And that brings that excitement. That RKO comes out of nowhere in the middle of the match, beginning of the match, anytime you one, two, and you're waiting for the kick out, or you're looking for it or not, kick out, three count, whatever. The RKO is excellent. I love it. And the RKO is awesome. I've seen it done. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I've seen it done just like the Sweet Chin music. I've seen somebody come off the top rope and get caught with it. Off the top rope, caught with an RKO. Boom. I've seen somebody springboard. I've seen AJ Styles springboard. Same thing Shelton Benjamin did. He springboarded up and he caught an RKO on the way down. Ooh, wee. Okay, I've seen all of it. Okay, and the greatest, I think this was the greatest finisher of a match of all time. I don't care what nobody says. I watched a lot of wrestling, and this might have been the greatest finish to a match that I ever seen was when Randy Orton RKO'd Seth Rollins to win that match. That RKO was the greatest shit. I think that was the greatest ending to a match I ever seen. Randy was down, and Seth Rollins came to do a stomp on Randy. And he ran, and he was about to curb stomp Randy's head into the thing, and Randy lifted his head up. Which springboarded, which like threw Seth Rollins into the air, and Randy caught him with the RKO on the way back down. So not only did he revert, like he reversed Seth Rollins' finisher, got Seth Rollins in the air, and caught him with the RKO. And that was so crazy because it was all of the drama in one thing. It was like Seth's going to stomp him, and we waiting for the drama. Seth was setting up to stomp, and Randy was down and be like, oh, shit, Seth's going to stomp him. Seth's going to win. Seth runs in, and then he goes for the stomp, and it looks like he's got it. And then next thing we know, we see Seth flying through the air, and we're like, what the fuck is going on? And then the RKO comes down. Oh, my God, that was the greatest finisher in a wrestling match that I can remember. I can't remember a finisher that was better than that. And y'all might know one. Y'all can holler at me, tell me later, whatever. But that, to me, was like, that was the chef's kiss. That was my oh shit moment. And I loved it. And that's what I look for finishers. And that's what I want to get. So now, that's it. I gave y'all the boat list of finishers. And y'all can argue with me. I know some of y'all going to disagree. I know y'all not going to like what I said about that tombstone. I get it. And now I went through my list of the GOAT finishers. Okay? And y'all can argue with that, too. Well, maybe I forgot some. I might have forgot some. Okay, I don't know. I don't listen. This is live. I'm just doing it. I'm off the top. I don't got no notes. I don't got no notes. These paperwork is old. I don't have notes here. I'm just like off the top, coming to you live, bringing it to you raw, being 100. So if I forgot a finisher that you like, or a finisher that's devastating, or a finisher that you think should make this list, let's go. Let's go. I can add it. I can always come back. This is my podcast. I can always come back and do. Okay. GOAT boat finishing moves again, part 2. I can do a part two of any episode I want. So anytime you guys rebuttal me, I can come back up here and go, okay, go finish the part two. I gave y'all my list, but some people came on. You can get a shout out. Matter of fact, because I'm live now and I got this StreamYard thing, I can put you on. You can come on the part two and go, hey, Tyrone. Hey, Nispa. You said these were your go finishers, but you forgot about this. How could you? How could you forget about this finisher this time? Or you say both finishers. You can say, how did you forget about this move? This move was terrible. You can bring up the perfect place. I wanted to bring up the perfect place, but it's just a suplex. But then the way he did it with the bridge and the holding for the pin, it was kind of cool, but I didn't think it was good enough to make the GOAT list. But I didn't think it was terrible enough to make the boat list. You understand what I'm saying? So some of your moves, you might be like, what about this? What about that? And I'm going to tell you, like, look, it's in the middle. If it's in the middle, it's not bad enough to be a boat. It's not good enough to be the GOAT. But we can argue with it. We can talk about it. We can make an episode about it. But for right now, I got my boats. I stand on them. I got my GOATs. I stand on them. And I'm going to be out. I don't have no shout-outs this time. I just want to say a Mr. Podcast. And I just want to say also, if you can, go on YouTube, check out the Starting Five Podcast. Because we be on there, and we be on some other shit on there too. And it's live too. And we grown men, and we get busy, and we talk about a lot of topics on there too. So if you like what you're hearing here, you also will probably like what you're hearing over there. So go check out the Starting Five Podcast. Continue to listen to the Lisper Podcast. And I'm out.